And now get ready to smile again. With radio's home, folks, Chris goes Vic and Save. By the way, have you looked at the calendar today? Well, that holiday season is certainly right around the corner. Now, that's going to mean lots of extra company for you, isn't it? And extra cooking, too. Say, I can just see the big dent all that extra food will make in your budget. Now, wait, I'm not as gloomy as I sound. I have good news for you. This will be one year you won't have to worry about buying the most expensive shortening to make your holiday cakes and pies extra good. Not on your life. Why? Well, there's new Sure Mix Crisco waiting to help you. Now, listen. No matter how much you pay for shortening, you can't get cakes as high or as light or as tender as the cakes you can make with new Sure Mix Crisco. Now, maybe you think I'm just bragging, but I'm not. Before new Sure Mix Crisco was introduced, hundreds of cakes were baked in the Crisco test kitchens. Each cake was measured. The cakes made with Sure Mix Crisco measured up higher, as much as 15% higher depending on the type of cake. And they were lighter and tenderer, too. And that's the kind of cake you can get with new Sure Mix Crisco. But let me warn you, don't expect to get cakes like that with any other shortening you can buy. You see, Sure Mix Crisco is the result of the greatest shortening discovery in 29 years. And it's not only different, it even acts differently from any household shortening we ever heard of. Why, the minute you start to stir up a cake with new Sure Mix Crisco, you'll know it's different. For one thing, your batter will be different. It'll be the smoothest batter you ever had. You see, with new Sure Mix Crisco, all your ingredients get together and stay together. And this new type of cake batter will give you the best looking and the best eating cakes you ever baked. So change to new Sure Mix Crisco now. And this year, serve the grandest pies and cakes you ever made. And what's more, you can save real money doing it. Well, sir, the atmosphere is comfortable and serene as we join our friends at the small house halfway up in the next block now. For here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Cook spending a quiet evening at home. Young Rush is also present, having just at this moment returned from an after-supper excursion to the corner of Kelsey Street. And he's saying...
Why, George, I was impressed as a horse.
Smelly never impressed me particularly.
Are you prejudiced at Smelly?
No, only I never quite cottoned to him. All that struck me as being a trifle on the sneaky side.
I expect you refer to his mannerism of letting his tongue loll out.
Maybe I do.
Other people object to that same mannerism. Some of the teachers up at school are disturbed by Smelly letting his tongue loll out.
Why does he do it?
Oh, tonsils, adenoids, 6 to 1, half a dozen of the other. But no joke. I was impressed as a horse up under the street lamp a few minutes ago.
Smelly made a speech, huh?
Out of a clear sky. We were all sitting there on the curb. Me and Bluetooth, Smelly, Nicer, Leland, and Leroy. Bluetooth and Leland were discussing various ways of getting rich quick. The rest of us wasn't paying much attention. All of a sudden, we come aware that Smelly had rose to his feet and was standing bareheaded before us.
Like some young sapling in a queen's secluded garden which lightly casts its shadow on the moonlit turf.
Beg pardon?
Just a snatch of poesy.
And was standing bareheaded before us.
Don't you be standing around bareheaded in this weather.
Why, no.
Ollie Storker back in Dixon let himself go bareheaded for just a fraction of a second and died from it. Remember Ollie, Vic?
Married Edna Gilbert?
That was his brother, Ralph.
Hmm.
Ollie passed away. I don't expect you ever knew him. Bess and I were little tiny kids.
Hmm.
Ollie was delicate to start off with. Had nervous headaches and all like that. Cried easy. When he was 39 years old, he'd get peevish over trivial stuff and cry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I started to tell. This one winter morning, his mother bundled him up warm and sent him downtown on an errand. Well, he was walking along the sidewalk, and here come along his Aunt Lucille. He said hello and doffed his hat, and his mother claimed afterwards it was that tiny split second where he had his head bare that the damage was done. Took sick immediately. Made a very sad thing.
Yeah.
Well, you probably never knew Ollie. Bess and I were little tiny kids.
Mm.
You people desirous of hearing about Smelly's speech?
Yeah. Feel stuffy in here to you.
Uh-uh.
I opened that damper full blast.
We were sitting there in the curbing, and all of a sudden, become aware Smelly had rose silently to his feet and was standing bareheaded before us.
"Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, I cannot but
not be proud."
Sure, go ahead.
"If you'll pay attention and listen, I wouldn't be surprised at what you're just as impressed as I was."
"Sure."
Smelly silently rose to his feet, and we become aware he was standing bareheaded before us.
"We got that idea pretty well in mind now."
"Fellas," he says, "you all know me. I am Smelly Clark."
"I bet that news item sent an electric shock through the audience."
"Okay.
Tomorrow I'm going down to the office and make the announcement I'm Vic Cook. Women will scream and strong men turn pale."
"Okay, girl. Mind if you people will excuse me, I believe I'll go on upstairs. I have a book I wish to read."
"Oh, what did Smelly say?"
"Said he'd been checking up on himself."
"Really?"
"He says, fellas, you all know me. I am Smelly Clark. I have been checking up on myself, and I wish to tell you I am deeply gratified with my discoveries."
"Hmm."
"Fellas," he said, "this is November, 1939. A whole year has passed since November 1938. 365 days. Fellows, in those 365 days, I have not stood still.
Hmm.
I have grown in mind and body. The radiance of the streetlight is playing across my features as I utter these words, and I think you can plainly tell that I am sincere.
Hmm.
Since November 1938, I have become smarter, taller, nobler, richer, and better looking. If I were to pass away in the next 5 minutes, I believe it could be truthfully said that the world was better for my having lived."
"Hippity hop and the hogs got out."
"You people realize how much nerve it requires to get up in front of a bunch of guys and make statements like that?"
"Must require considerable."
"Leland Richards was in the group. Leland Richards is the type of individual that hates axle grease in every way, shape, or form. I expected him to rise and smash Smelly upside the snoot, but he never moved a muscle. If I were to pass away in the next 5 minutes," says Smelly, "I believe it could be truthfully said that the world was better for my having lived. Leland Richards, that hates axle grease in every way, shape, or form, sat there on the curb and never moved a muscle."
"Hmm."
"And that other thing he said about the radiance of the streetlight playing across his features. Fellas, the radiance of the streetlight is playing across my features as I utter these words, and I think you can plainly tell that I'm sincere."
"Mm-hmm."
"Ordinarily, a statement like that in front of Leland Richards would be like waving a red flag at a bull. But Leland never opened his mouth."
"Mm-hmm."
"I am young in years yet, fellas," says Smelly, "but my career thus far has given promise of a glorious future. There are those who say I'm wonderful. I do not say I'm wonderful because that would sound like bragging. When people come up to me on the street and tell me I'm wonderful, I wave my hand carelessly and remark, 'Let time tell the story.'"
"Ish."
"I would give the last drop of blood in my body for mother, home, and friend. I would gladly die for the things dearest to my heart."
"Kind of halfway like your friend, Mr. Buller."
"Oh."
"I've heard him whip out extravagant junk like that."
"When?"
"Lots of times. He'll scrounge into some big, enormous speech when a person's least expecting it. Last time he was here, he pulled that stunt."
"I don't remember it."
"Sure you do. In the lobby of the Butler House Hotel there. Him and I were making little polite talky-talk till you got back from the cigar counter or wherever it was you went. Oh, I guess you wasn't there."
"What did he say?"
"Oh, I will never renounce the principles, la-di-da, which is the heritage of every right-thinking American, la-di-da, and so forth and so on, la-di-da, till the angel of death calls me home, la-di-da, and so forth and so on. Oh, for 5 minutes or better. I just sat and stared." "Yes."
"Smelly Clark,
where are you?" "Somebody else a little on that order."
"Charlie Regis come?"
"Yes, Charlie too, but I'm thinking of the Brickmush man."
"Brickmush man in origin?
Give him a chance, and he is."
"Yeah."
Smelly Clark went on to say, "Fellas, I am strong. I am smart. I am good-looking."
"Lance."
"I am patriotic. I am brave. I am gentle. I am kind. I am generous." Imagine getting up in front of tough monkeys like Bluetooth Johnson and Leland Richards and Leroy Snow and making statements like that.
You'd think they'd have cut him into small pieces.
Wouldn't you, though? But they never. They sat in a row on the curb in there, and Smelly kept right on talking.
The radiance of their streetlight playing across his features.
Exactly. I protect the young. I defend the weak. I obey the laws. I am neat, clean, tender, sympathetic, intelligent, industrious, thrifty, sweet-tempered, courageous, and handsome.
Hmm.
I am spruce, tidy, trim, dapper, vigorous, hearty, hale, useful, witty, wise, and true. By George, I was impressed.
I'm not surprised.
We were all impressed. It seemed unbelievable a guy could get up in front of his friends and make a speech like that. Of course, had to end sometime.
Smelly finally conclude his oration?
No. Last I saw of him, he was still talking.
Oh, what happened?
Leland Richards started things off.
What did Leland do?
Suddenly lunged at Smelly's legs.
Uh-oh.
Smelly fell flat on his back. In another second, me and Bluetooth and Nicer and Leroy were on the job. I removed his shoes and threw them up on Carl's front porch roof. Bluetooth got a handful of mud and applied it to his face.
Smelly's face, I presume you mean?
Of course. Nicer removed his belt, hat, and necktie. Then we let him up and run him home. It was the only thing to do, you know. Absolutely the only thing to do. Fellas, you all know me. I am Smelly Clark. I am strong. I am smart. I am good looking.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Say, if you've been thinking that you'd like to change to new SureMix Crisco, then today would be a fine time to do it. Because, listen, what you learn about Crisco may be worth a small fortune to you. And in a minute, I'll tell you why. Right now, I want to tell you about new SureMix Crisco. You see, something exciting has happened to Crisco that's going to make a wonderful difference in all your cooking. Now, just take cakes, for instance. Our baking tests show that cakes made with SureMix Crisco are higher, lighter, and tenderer than cakes made with any other household shortening we know of. Now, wouldn't you be pretty proud if you could make cakes like that? Well, you can with new SureMix Crisco. So don't miss out on this wonderful treat any longer. Change to new SureMix Crisco today. And tomorrow, listen to news about Crisco's second big all-cash slogan contest. Find out how you may win $5,000 cash or one of the 100 second prizes, each $50 cash. Yes, don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ralph Edwards speaking.